Should Christians be listening to secular music? Should Christians be watching anything and everything produced by the entertainment industry? Well, in this video, we are going to look at the dark side of music and entertainment. One of the biggest names in music right now is Taylor Swift. She is one of the world's best-selling artists. But for a moment, let's take a look at the lyrics in some of the songs in her most recent album. In the song titled Guilty as Sin, some of the lyrics read, "What if I roll the stone away? They're gonna crucify me anyway. What if the way you hold me is actually what's holy? If long-suffering propriety is what they want from me, they don't know how you've haunted me. So stunningly, I choose you and me, religiously." And then in the song, "But Daddy, I Love Him," it says, "I just learned these people only raise you to cage you. Sarah's and Hannah's in their Sunday best, clutching their pearls, sighing, what a mess. I just learned these people try and save you, 'cause they hate you. God, save the most judgmental creeps, who say they want what's best for me. Sanctimoniously performing soliloquies I'll never see, thinking it can change the beat of my heart when he touches me, and counteract the chemistry, and undo the destiny. You ain't gotta pray for me, me and my wild boy, and all this wild joy, if all you want is gray for me." Now, there are those who will say it's just music, or that the lyrics, well, let me bring this article to your attention. Premier Christianity reported the following, and I quote, "It's true that Swift has referred to herself as a Christian, and has sung about praying to Jesus. The problem is, there are so many New Age and occult themes that appear not just in her lyrics, but on her social media pages and during her onstage performances. This has led to claims from the former Boyzone singer Shane Lynch that Swift performs satanic rituals on stage. In an interview with Irish newspaper Sunday World, Lynch said of Swift, "You watch one of her shows, and she has two or three demonic rituals to do with the pentagrams on the ground, to do with all sorts of stuff on her stage." There are other reasons to be concerned, too. Swift makes a devil's horn symbol while performing the song Cruel Summer, which references her love interest, grinning like a devil. In the music video for her song Willow, Swift and her dancers are dressed as a coven of witches in the forest, wearing black robes and carrying golden orbs. The song has had a couple of remixes, the Lonely Witch and the Dancing Witch versions. Willow is a traditional material for making magic wands. Her song Karma glorifies the unchristian concept of having to live multiple lifetimes to work off our bad deeds. The lyrics depict karma as a god. All this has led to some Christians to speculate on whether Swift is a witch or even a Satanist." End quote. Now, Swift is just one example among others. Many entertainers now, young and old, freely speak about their involvement in New Age, witchcraft, and the occult. The desensitized youth of today view such announcements as more enlightened than dangerous or repulsive. Vanessa Hudgens, a Disney starlet who starred in television and movies, told the multimedia brand Nylon in April 2023 that she's always felt drawn to witchcraft. She boldly said yes when they asked if she felt like a witch, adding, "I've always been drawn toward the darkness and the unknown, as well as herbalism, ever since I was a kid." Hudgens told the reporter that she had her awakening when filming one of the Princess Switch movies, and that to her, being a witch to her means connecting to my angels, my ancestors, my spirit guides, my spiritual brigade. She also revealed she has a gift of vision and has seen ghosts for as long as she can remember. So, why does all of this matter? Why should conservative parents and Christians be concerned about what is happening in the entertainment world? Maybe you're not even familiar with the movies, TV shows, or actors I've mentioned so far. Perhaps you're thinking, this topic doesn't really concern me. I don't watch or support those kinds of TV shows, movies, or listen to dark-spirited themed music. Should I be concerned about this? Absolutely, yes. In Ezekiel 33, we read that God desires good people, His people, to be watchmen. The term watchman refers to a person who has concern for the welfare of others, particularly the spiritual welfare of others. We need discernment. And I believe another term for discernment is spiritual insight. You are in sight of the spiritual. You are considering what type of atmosphere is being created by this movie, by this show, or by this game. You are considering if the music you are listening to glorifies God or takes you away from God. Spiritual insight will have you asking questions about the artist and their life and their beliefs. Every believer should have a measure of the Holy Spirit to help them discern decisions and choices in everyday life. In today's world, the growing flirtation with evil, the growing acceptance of engagement in witchcraft, the occult, Satanism, and the dark spiritual realm can only lead to disaster. It poisons the mind and soul. Satan is the puppet master of all of this. Like the poison apple in the story Snow White, he disguises what is evil and dangerous so that it appears to be lovely and good. He does this in many ways, including employing desensitization techniques, wrapping dark content in comedy, and using popular young actors and music artists to say, it's no big deal. Many today say that asking for guidance or power or energy from the dark side is fine. They insist it is not dangerous, not a problem. But it is dangerous. There is a problem. When we play with fire, we get burned. It is as simple as that. The Bible says that Satan's business is to steal, kill, and destroy. He is called the Destroyer. He will steal your joy. He will destroy your happiness, your family. He will destroy your life if you give him an opportunity. What does Scripture say to do? It says, do not give Satan an opportunity. Furthermore, the Bible has plenty to say when it comes to witchcraft or those interested in dabbling in paranormal activity. It says in Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 to 12, when you come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who practices divination, or tells fortunes, or interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, a necromancer, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And then Zechariah 10, verse 2 warns, diviners see lies. They tell false dreams and give empty consolation. Therefore, the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted. And finally, the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 4, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So, here is what we should do. We ought to adhere to the biblical challenge to...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Run from evil. Do not look upon it, wrote the prophet Habakkuk. Remember, Satan is the great deceiver. He is an expert in making the dangerous seem benign and the dark things seem attractive. He is a liar. His intent is to deceive and destroy and lure you away from where God wants you to be. Scripture calls believers to be sanctified, to be in the world but not of the world, to be set apart and not engaged in that which does not honor the Lord. As you consider the challenge in this teaching, let me leave you with these words from the Apostle Peter. He writes in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour.
I want to let you know that there is power when you praise God. If you look all throughout the Bible, you will find many examples of the power that comes from praising God. Now, I believe this to be the case because when we as Spirit-filled believers lift our hearts in faith and we praise the Lord, then His glory, His power, His presence comes down. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." God inhabits the praise of His people. I find it extraordinary and incredibly uplifting because this means that God occupies, He lives in the praises of His people. This is why you see that in the Bible, miracles happened because of praise. Chains are loosed and battles are won when God's people begin to praise Him. I want to read a short passage of scripture that'll help you understand the power of praise. Now, the context to this passage is that King Jehoshaphat received word that there were armies who had declared war against Judah. Jehoshaphat was given the daunting news that his enemies, a great multitude, was marching towards Judah, ready to attack. The king prayed and fasted, and he was told not to fear, because this battle belonged to God. And so here's what happened, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 20 through 23. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Jehoshaphat didn't even have to fight. He chose to praise God. The Bible says, "Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated." Learn this lesson. When you praise the Lord, despite the danger you face, He will intervene. When you praise God despite your enemies coming against you, God will intervene. Now, it may not always be easy to praise. There will be days when we may not feel like it. There'll be moments when you're so up against it and you're struggling. But I can tell you that if only you can learn to praise the Lord with all your heart in those moments, you'll find Him to be a strong shelter during life's storms. You'll find Him to be more capable of halting and defeating your enemies than you could ever be. So hear me, people of God. Praise should become a priority in your life.
When the bills are paid, when there's money in the bank, when there's plenty to laugh and be happy about, do you remember to say, "Thank you, Lord? I know where you've brought me from. I remember when it wasn't like this." Or how about when you're struggling? Work is tough. The business isn't performing well and you have problems. Do you remember to say, "Thank you"? "Thank you, Lord, because I may be hard pressed on every side, but I'm not crushed. I may be perplexed, but I'm not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." In Acts 16, Paul and Silas didn't see the prison they were in. They didn't focus on the guards, the chains, or the fact that they were uncomfortable. They focused on God. Acts 16, verse 25 and 26 says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose." I pray that this may be the reality in our lives today. As we praise and thank God in advance, each of us will also experience a suddenly movement in our situation when things will turn around. Be thankful, saints. Be thankful always and in all circumstances. How could I not thank the Lord? How could you not thank the Lord? I am living. I am healthy. I am of a sound mind. I am blessed to have a family. Blessed to have food on my plate and a place to stay. This is not to say that everything has been perfect. But the message I want to tell you is, be thankful. Find something, find one thing to be thankful about. We should be believers that rejoice and give thanks to God Almighty through the good and through the bad. Sure, the car broke down, but I thank you for legs that I can walk. Maybe I lost my job. It's a problem. But I can still thank God that I haven't lost my health. Yes, you may not be able to afford the most luxurious dining experience, but thank God that you have never missed a meal. People of God, we ought to have a spirit of thankfulness. Let it be your disposition in life. To stop for a moment and say thank you. Psalms 107, verse 1 to 2 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble."
A gospel singer by the name of Ja'Kalen Carr has a song called "You're Bigger." And in the song, she says, "You're bigger than any marital problem. You're bigger than any broken home. You're bigger than our mistakes. The stripes on your back make you bigger. Your blood makes you bigger. Your love makes you bigger. You overcame death, and that makes you bigger. How true are those words? Our God is indeed bigger than any situation. He's bigger than any circumstance you face or any problem. And so my message to you today is to encourage you to praise God. Praise the Lord in the middle of your situation. Praise the Lord as you go through that situation. And then praise Him in advance for victory in your situation. Go on and thank the Lord for the miracle in advance. Praise the Lord for the breakthrough in advance. Go on and give Him the glory and honor for making a way, even though what's right in front of you says otherwise. And here's the thing about it. When you praise the Lord in advance, you're taking the focus away from the problem, away from the pain, away from the heartache and whatever it is that you're facing, and you're placing that focus on Jesus Christ. That's the power that stands behind praising Him in advance. You're saying to the problem, "You're not big enough to make me stop praising the Lord." Sure, you're causing me some discomfort. Correct, I don't like this situation I'm in. And yes, this pain might be great, but Jesus Christ is still bigger than all of that. When you praise God in advance, you're acknowledging Him to be bigger than the problems the supervisor at work is giving you. When you praise God in advance, you're saying, "Lord, my car might be giving me trouble. My best friend might have betrayed me. And on top of that, I have some bills which I don't know how I'm going to pay." But you're still bigger than all of that. You see, there is power in praising God in advance. Saints of God, we need to praise God whether or not we have what we want. We need to praise Him for His wonderful sacrifice. He so loved each and every one of us that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. So listen, today, I encourage you to take a stand. Whatever you're facing, I assure you, it's not bigger than Jesus Christ. Whatever you're going through can't be bigger than the Lord, because He is the Almighty. He is the all-powerful one. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas didn't see the prison they were in. They didn't focus on the guards, the chains, or the fact that they were uncomfortable. No, they focused on God. Acts 16, verses 25 through 26 says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed." Now let us pray that as we praise and thank God in advance, each of us will experience a suddenly moment in our situations where things will turn around. You and I are called to trust God. Now, my own perspective on trusting the Lord is that I don't need to have all the answers, because I know the one who knows all the answers. I don't need to know what the plan is, because I know the planner. I don't need to know the why, if I know the one. I don't need to know the how, because I trust Him.
Someone who has set their heart to trust and believe in the Lord can never be broken. And what I mean by that is, a believer who has encountered Jesus, a believer who has been truly transformed by the power of God, you cannot uproot that type of person, nor can you shake them. And I believe this is to be the case because the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 to 8, the Amplified translation reads, "Blessed
with spiritual security is the man who believes and trusts in and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confident expectation is the Lord. For he will be nourished like a tree planted by the waters, that spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear the heat when it comes. But its leaves will be green and moist, and it will not be anxious and concerned in a year of drought, nor stop bearing fruit. A believer who has set their heart to trust in Jesus is spiritually secure. That means you aren't vulnerable to attack. It doesn't make you immune, because we all fall under attack from the enemy at some point, but you're not vulnerable. You're not exposed. Let me put it this way. Think of a house. A house where all of the windows have been left open. The front door is wide open. The back door is wide open. There are no curtains, no blinds, but there is plenty of valuable material inside. That's the picture of a person who is not spiritually secure. They are open for attack from the kingdom of darkness because their trust is in everything but God. But you see, to be a believer who really trusts in Jesus Christ, a believer who really believes the word of God and declares that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, that person is secure.
The Bible says in Psalm 37, verses 3 through 6, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun." I believe that God is pleased when we trust him to such an extent that we can say, whatever awaits me in the future, I'm facing it with Jesus. Whatever comes against me, I'll be protected by Jesus. And here's the thing about faith and trust in the Lord. A lot of times, you'll have to walk with God without knowing. In fact, faith can be summed up in the following way. Faith is doing your part, which is trusting God to do his part. Your part is to believe. That's all you need to do. And then you leave God to do his part. Your part is to stand on God's word. His word says that nothing is impossible with God. Let me ask you, are you doing your part? Are you believing and standing on God's word? Faith is not necessarily something tangible. It's not something you can put your hands on and control. Faith is the substance of hope and the evidence of the unseen. This means to me that if you can see it, it isn't faith. If you can explain it or control it, it isn't faith. Many of us try to orchestrate and control everything in our lives until one day we're faced with things that are outside of our control. And the truth is, the most important things in life are out of our control. You can exercise and diet all you want, but disease can still come knocking on your door. We can build magnificent buildings and structures, but we must still bow to the power of a tornado, a hurricane, or an earthquake. These things remind us that we are not in control. But I want you to understand that it's during times like these, when we feel out of control, that we are reminded of the purpose of faith. Faith enables us to be comfortably out of control, even though we cannot control things like disease, nature, or death. We have faith that God has a plan and that God will have the last word. And so as we approach the throne of grace, let us ask God to help us to move into a space where we are comfortable
without knowing. Ask Him to move us to a place where we can be comfortable, not because we have all the answers, but because we know who our answer is. His name is Jesus.
When you put your trust in the Lord, there is something that happens within you. You have a boldness about you when you know and trust that your steps are ordained by God. So where have you placed your trust? In whom have you placed your trust in? Now allow me to speak about doubt for a moment. Beware of doubt, because doubt is the enemy of faith. Doubt will only ever see the obstacles in front of you. However, faith sees the way. Faith believes that God will make a way even when it seems like there is no way. Doubt will see darkness. Doubt will see despair. But faith will see the day. Faith will see the light. It will see hope. Doubt will cripple you as a person. But when you trust God, you can take a leap of faith. Trusting God dispels all fear. Faith and fear cannot simultaneously occupy your mind and heart. It's impossible. You either have one or the other. Faith and fear cannot exist together.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.